ello para que tu pueblo crezca, para que tu iglesia se extienda y para que tu reino se establezca. Bendice a Dr. Perry en esta tarde y que lo que nos transmita sea de bendición para todos nosotros. Que salgamos edificados de este lugar en esta tarde. Te agradezco por los que nos visitan, en particular por la familia de Consuelo, que está por primera vez entre nosotros en esta tarde. Queremos bendecirle, Señor. Por Jesucristo. Amén.
Thank you very much, Pastor. It is an honor for me to be here with you. I have looked forward to this time for several weeks. As your pastor mentioned, you are one of 110 congregations that's located here in Wisconsin, as well as Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. That seeks to serve Jesus Christ with all of our heart. And seeks to reach our neighbors and our friends for Jesus Christ. And I'm honored that this congregation is one of the few congregations in all of our ministry where I can preach for 2 hours. And my gringo friends are not going to be mad. So take off your coats, get ready. No, I'm not going to do that. I've been a part of the Baptist General Conference. Which is the name of our denomination. It is a worldwide denomination. It has, our headquarters are in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and in Orlando, Florida. We serve and have missionaries all over the world. It was one of our former missionaries, Mr. Robert Boyd, who was a missionary to Brazil in the late 1950s and 60s. When our denomination was primarily Anglo. And he came back from Brazil and said, it is not right that this denomination only looks like one kind of people. And he brought me into this denomination. And I have served here for the last 23 years. And it's been a joy to see that there are a whole lot more people like myself and like yourselves that are part of our fellowship of churches. Currently, in the United States at least, one-fourth of all of our churches now are churches of color. I love going to those churches. I can preach for 2 hours.
What church mean?
What kind of church? Yes.
Okay, lo que él está tratando de decir con la iglesia de color es una iglesia afroamericana,
y
también
Filipino, Chinese,
Chinos,
Hmong, all types of cultural groups. It almost kind of reminds me of what it's going to be like in heaven, where everyone's going to be used to 2-hour sermons. And we're not going to worry about trying to get out in 1 hour. Because we will have all of eternity to love Jesus. It is an honor for me to be here. As the president of the Great Lakes Baptist Conference, it is truly my honor. I am the only person of color who is one of the presidents of the denomination. So you pray for me. We need to get some of you to do that now. Amen? Yeah. Maybe your pastor. Who knows? It is an honor to be here. I want to talk this afternoon from an Old Testament book. It's the book of Joshua. Do most of you have Bibles? If not, can we share with one another? Because it's going to be important that you're able to look at the copy of Scripture in front of you. Can we make sure we share with one another? Amen. Many years ago, when I was a little kid, there was a man by the name of Evel Knievel. He was very popular in America. This was many years ago. I'm talking 40 to 50 years ago. People used to love Mr. Knievel. Not only in the United States, but all over the world. But to be honest with you, Mr. Knievel did not sing. He did not make movies. He did not write books. The only thing he did that made him so popular was he did daring stunts and activities. He did courageous stunts and activities. You see this motorcycle up there? He would get on that motorcycle, and they would line up about 25 automobiles. And then he'd turn that motorcycle on. That's a motorcycle, guys. That's And he would jump over the 25 cars. He'd fall on the ground. He'd break his arm. And we would say, yes! He is a man of great courage. He would get into a round barrel. A little round barrel. And he would go to a famous place called Niagara Falls. And they'd string a wire from one part to the other part. And he would get in the barrel and they would roll the barrel over the string. He was a man of courage. A man of courage. You know, not only do people who do courageous acts like Mr. Knievel need courage, so do you and I need courage. Now, in the black church that I used to pastor, when the pastor like myself made a good point like that, the people would say, "Preach, pastor!" So, let me say it again. Not only do people like Mr. Knievel need courage, but so do you and I. Oh, thank you. We need courage because life is really tough at times. We need courage because the people who we think we can trust, sometimes we can't trust. We need courage because the job that they promised us, maybe, they take right away back. I'm sure many of you need courage because you are now in a land that doesn't speak even your language. And as I was sitting here trying to understand Brother Jesus, I was putting myself in your shoes. And how every day you are faced in a land that doesn't maybe understand you. And you need courage. You know, it was about 5 years ago, even a little bit longer, that Dr. Perry needed some courage. I was at home with my wife on my day off. To be honest with you, I was kind of courting my wife on my day off. Courting. I was saying real nice things to her. And I was, ooh, baby. And the phone rang. The person on the phone asked, "Is Dr. Dwight Perry there?" I said, "This is strange. This is my off day." My wife gave me the phone. I said, "Yes, this is Dr. Perry. How can I help you?" She said, "Dr. Perry," and gave me her name. "I am a nurse from the University of Wisconsin Hospital. You took some test a few weeks ago, Dr. Perry. And I'm sad to tell you now that you have cancer, Dr. Perry. Not only that, Dr. Perry, you have throat cancer. That was very strange for me. I do not smoke or drink or anything. But yet, somehow God had allowed me to have throat cancer. A couple of years ago, as they've been trying to deal with my cancer, the doctors finally told me that because you have a very rare cancer, there might be no human cure. We're going to keep trying things. And there's one other thing that we can try. But Dr. Perry, unfortunately, this is something you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. Dr. Perry needed some courage. This man in this story in Joshua chapter 1, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 with me. It is the sixth book in the Old Testament. Starting with Genesis, it's the sixth book in. It's a story about a man who also needed courage. His name was Joshua. He had been wandering in a wilderness for over 40 years. He and his people had been enslaved in Egypt for more than 400 years before that. And he had now brought them now under the leadership of Moses to the front, to the beginning of what's called the Promised Land. This was the land that God had promised the nation of Israel. This was the land that God said was going to be your land forever. The problem was, there were some bad people in that land. The Bible calls them giants. People called like Amalekites. The Canaanites. The Mosedobites. That's a joke. I got him there. They were bad people. And Joshua needed some courage. Let me read to you the scripture. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From this wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, And as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we study the Bible, that you would help us to understand how we can be people of courage. We pray now that in spite of all of the obstacles in front of us, we would not be like the nation of Israel, who even though they saw your goodness, continued to do what they wanted to do. And as a result, they did not experience the promise that you had given them. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor Marin Ray and Sister Du Bois. We pray that you would bless them as they lead this congregation. And that you would be glorified in the midst of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Israel had wandered through this wilderness for 40 years. As I mentioned to you, they had been in slavery for 400 years before that. And they were now right on the edge of reaching the promised land that God had promised them. This journey that took them 40 years from Egypt to the promised land should have only taken them 7 to 10 days. No, the GPS on their phone did not mess up. No, the computer that they had didn't give them the wrong directions. The reason why it took them 40 years to make a 7 to 10 day journey is because, like many of us, instead of going in the direction that God had told them to go, they decided to go in their own direction. And because of that, they went around and around and around in a circle. In other words, brothers and sisters, they gave God the hand. My wife's not here today, so I can show you how an African-American sister gets upset. And when her husband tells her to do something, she says no. Are you ready to see this? They do it like this. That's what the nation of Israel did. They did that in spite of the fact that they had seen God be good to them. They did that in spite of the fact that they had seen God provide for them. They had seen God send the angel of death to deliver them. They had seen God turn the water into blood. They had seen God literally part the Red Sea down the middle. And even though they had seen God do all of these things, they chose not to believe God, but to believe themselves. In other words, brothers and sisters, they gave God the hand. And because of that, a journey that should have only taken them 7 to 10 days took them 40 years. I don't know about you, my friends, but I know in my life, there have been times in my life where I've gone around and around and around in the circle of discouragement, why? Not because I didn't have good friends. Not because I didn't have a good church. Not because I didn't have a good job. But because I refused to listen to what God had told me to do, and I thought I knew better. Whether I was realizing it or not, I was giving God the hand. The reason why you read the Bible is because the Bible helps you and I to know what God wants to say to us, so that we can obey what God says to us, so that we're not wandering around in the wilderness of life, but are able to experience the promise of an abundant life in Christ. I don't care what the devil tells you. Sex outside of marriage is only going to lead to one thing. A wilderness. I don't care what the devil tells you. Smoking drugs and stuff is only going to lead to one thing. A wilderness. I don't care what the devil tells you. Trying to do the wrong thing by your wife or by your husband is only going to lead to one thing.
La cosa rara, por su señora, por su familia, lo
va a llevar solamente a hacer las cosas mal.
A wilderness.
Lo que es la selva.
We have too many people trying to find their way. When God has already shown them their way. But instead of listening to God's way, they want to listen to their own way. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 says this. Can you read that in Spanish for them?
Porque tú repartirás a este pueblo por heredad la tierra de la cual juré a sus padres que la daría a ellos.
There are three little lessons that we can learn from this story.
Aquí hay tres lecciones que podemos aprender de este versículo.
That will help us to be strong and courageous.
Esto nos va a ayudar a nosotros a ser fuertes y corajudos.
No matter how bad our circumstances become, what's the first lesson we can learn from this little story? That no matter what your friends might be telling you, no matter what your feelings might be telling you, we should listen not to your friends or to your feelings, but to the Bible, to the Word of God. And as we depend on the Word of God, the Bible, God will help us to be strong and courageous. Notice the text that Brother Pedro read. He said in the text, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land." You know that little phrase, "be strong"? It's mentioned 57 times in the Old Testament. 23 of those times is put together with the phrase, God's strong hand. Preacher, what are you saying? Whether it's in English or in Spanish or another language, what this verse is teaching you and I is that no matter how I feel, no matter what I see, no matter what others are telling me, my God has your back. You're supposed to say amen. Amen. Preach, Pastor Perry. Let me say it again. It doesn't matter how you feel today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what the world out there is telling you about yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what even our Anglo culture around you is telling you. What are you hearing what I'm saying? The only thing that matters is what God says, and God says this. That I have your back. If God swears something to you, you can take it to the bank. The first little lesson that we can learn from this little story is to not listen to our feelings or listen to our mind, Or listen to our best friend. But to be people who listen to the Word of God. Secondly, what's the second lesson we can learn from this story that will help us to be strong and courageous? No matter what is going on in our lives, not only the assurance of God's precious promises, but the assurance, brothers and sisters, that if we obey those promises in the good times of life, that He will give us the grace. That word means supernatural ability beyond what we could do. He will give us supernatural power to do His will His way, no matter how bad the circumstances seem. Look at verses 7 and 8. Can you read that, Pedro, for them?
Para cuidar de hacer conforme a toda la ley que mi siervo Moisés te mandó, no te apartes de ella a diestra ni a siniestra, para que seas prosperado en todas las cosas que emprendas. Nunca se apartará de tu boca este libro de la ley, sino que de día y de noche meditarás en él, para que guardes y hagas conforme a todo lo que está escrito. Porque entonces harás prosperar tu camino.
The Bible that I used to use many years ago was called the King James Bible. It was translated in 1611. That's 500 years ago. I was 5 years old. That's a joke, guys. The King James Bible was the primary Bible that we here in America used up till about 30 years ago. It was about 30, maybe 40 years ago that we began to get newer versions of the Bible. But the original Bible is not written in English or Spanish. The original Bible is written in three languages. The New Testament that talks about Jesus is primarily written in New Testament Greek language. The Old Testament, where Joshua is primarily written in Old Testament Hebrew, as well as a language from the Aramaic descent. Aramaic. In the entire Bible, the original Bible that God inspired through human authors, that was written in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, the translators to the King James Bible . The main Bible we've used up to this day only translated the word one time, success, in the entire Bible.
palabra éxito.
Guess where it was. Right here in Joshua chapter 1. The only place where the word success in the original Bible was translated from. Now, I believe this Bible, your Spanish Bible, your English Bible, has been inspired by God. It's not just like a book from the bookstore. What that means is inspired by God is that even though your pastor is a handsome pastor, and even though he preaches much better than me, this Bible wasn't written by your pastor. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even ultimately written by people. But it was written by God. And it was inspired by God to teach us how to find our way and find ourselves. And the only place where it talks about success then, from God's point of view, is not when you get a lot of money in the black community, we call it getting a lot of ching ching. Ching ching. In order to get some bling bling. Y'all know what bling bling is, okay? It has nothing to do with getting some ching ching and bling bling to be successful. Ultimately, it has nothing to do with what type of job you have that makes you successful. Ultimately, it has nothing to do with what kind of home you own that makes you successful. But the Bible says you are successful when you meditate on God's Word and when you do what God says. God is not looking for religious people. He is not looking for people who just come to church. He is looking for people who want to do what He says and live like He wants them to live. And God promises in His Word that if you do that, you will have success. Amen? You can even say hallelujah. Do they say hallelujah here, Pastor? Well, I'm the executive minister. And the big boss. That means you can say hallelujah. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The final lesson that we can learn from this little story that will help us to be strong and courageous is not only the importance of God's promises, the importance of obeying God's prescription, but also the importance of God's presence. Look at verse 9 as we close this message.
Por favor, ya que te mando que te esfuerces y seas valiente. No temas ni desmayes, porque Jehová, tu Dios, estará contigo en donde quiera que vayas.
Brothers and sisters, I just want to come by this afternoon to let you know that whether the people are coming in or coming out, God is with you. Amen? I just wanted to stop by this afternoon to let you know that whether you have a job or not, God's presence is with you. I just wanted to stop by. I thought somebody would start shouting now. This is a good word, Pastor Perry. I just wanted to stop by and let you know that whether you have a wife or a husband or you don't, God is still with you. I just wanted to stop by and let you know that whether you have good health, which I hope all of you do, or you've been given a diagnosis like I have of cancer, that my God is still with you. Brothers and sisters, it's not about our circumstance. It's not about how we perceive life should be treating us. It's not about whether or not we think life is fair or not. It's about the fact that we have a good God who promises to never, ever leave us. As you go home today, I want you to think about that. As maybe tomorrow you face people who are prejudiced against you, who judge you because your skin color is different or your language is different. I want you to remember this word from this black preacher. That God is still with you. Some of you might be going home to an empty refrigerator. Some of you might not have enough gas to get home to that empty refrigerator. I know I've been there. But in spite of that, do not abandon God, because He has not abandoned you. God's presence will never, ever leave you. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. I lift my hands to you now because you are worthy of my praise. I lift my hands to you now because you are a God of the promise. I lift my hands to you now because you are the God of the prescription. I lift my hands to you now because you promise me forever and ever, no matter what, your presence. Thank you for giving me strength for the journey. I am a weak person. I am a needy person. I need you. Bless this congregation. Help them to know that no matter what, God, you have their back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you.